This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Today's show is the fifth in a series called The Art of Making Meaning, a series that introduces the idea that meaning is not something to seek or something to find, but rather something to make. Today's show is called The Subjectivity of Meaning. Creating personal meaning is the act of mindfully deciding what the next right thing will be. Given your understanding of the long view, that is, your understanding of the principles you intend to uphold, and your sense of how you want to represent yourself in life, and your analysis of the requirements of the immediate moment. Creating personal meaning is a higher level invitation, several ladder rungs above the selfishness of genes, that is provided by our moral consciousness and our resolute understanding of ideas like justice, freedom, and honor. Even if some god or devil has imbued the world with intentional meaning, he has nevertheless made us exactly as we are, obliged to make meaning as we see fit. What sort of thing is meaning? Consider the following example. On Monday, you make a pledge to yourself to get fit and to take care of your body. On Tuesday, getting some devastating news about your son's health, you offer up one of your organs to save his life, putting your own body at risk. On Wednesday, some months later, having recovered from your operation, hearing troubling news about a threat to your country, you support your son's decision to enlist, even though that constitutes a threat to his life, the life you recently gave one of your organs to save. On Thursday of the following month, having learned more about the war, you protest your country's involvement and you wish that your child was back from the war, and right now. The meaning of each action you took contradicted and superseded previous meaning. First, preserving your body was among your very highest concerns and considerations. Then, in the blink of an eye, it slipped to a place below a new value and a new meaning, that of saving your son's life. Yet very soon thereafter, you accepted the proposition that, however valuable his life might be, he was still acting correctly in putting his life in jeopardy in defense of his country. But the shifting didn't stop there. A month later, that proposition no longer felt true, not with the war now seeming wrong-headed and corrupt. What happened? You didn't just change your mind. You didn't just hold a new opinion. You experienced the subjective shifting of meaning. Meaning changes according to how you assess a situation. For a contemporary person who decides that ethics, integrity, and honor matter, she is regularly and even continually forced to reorder her principles, since no principle, however high it may seem, can stay at the top for all time. If one can stay at the top, it is perhaps the following one, that you intend to always do the next right thing. Doing the next right thing is probably the closest approximation to a self-contract that a contemporary, sensitive, intelligent person can make. But it is only an approximation. Creating personal meaning is the act of mindfully deciding what the next right thing will be. Given your understanding of the long view, that is, your understanding of the principles you intend to uphold, and your sense of how you want to represent yourself in life, and your analysis of the requirements of the immediate moment. Entering into this self-contract to do the next right thing doesn't preclude you from staring into space, smelling the roses, or otherwise being human, but it becomes the prize upon which you decide to keep your eye. Doing the next right thing is a principle that, for some number of people, guides their meaning-making efforts. The right thing might be a boring thing, like sitting for hours making fundraising calls for a cause you support. It may be a stressful thing, like confronting someone in power about an injustice, or confronting your child about his or her dangerous habits. It might be an ordinary and seemingly morally neutral thing, like peeling a potato. But isn't the fact that you are peeling a potato and not opening a tin of caviar a decision as much in the realm of ethics as economics? It might be an outsized thing, like singing the lead in an opera. It might be a sobering thing, like picking up the pieces after a crisis. Creating personal meaning is nothing like an attempt to create one juicy or exciting moment after another. It is more serious than that. Not joyless, not somber, but as serious as ethics. In strict Darwinian terms, meaning need not shift very much over time. The simple Darwinian meaning of your life is to keep your genes alive at all costs. As a strict Darwinian, you would join a group that protects you, have lots of children who help with the work and who carry your genes on, maybe steal food from those not in your group and maybe even kill them off while you're at it, have someone else do the laundry while you smoke a good cigar, always act with self-interest. These are the kinds of things a selfish gene needs. It is possible to live like this, and many people do. But this biologically selfish attitude probably doesn't sit very well with you, which is why you are bound to experience ongoing meaning shifts as you try to make sense of how to manifest your values. Creating personal meaning is a higher level invitation, several ladder rungs above the selfishness of genes, that is provided by our moral consciousness and our resolute understanding of ideas like justice, freedom, and honor. If a person wants to take the subjectivity of meaning as carte blanche to be selfish and argue for greed, ruthless competition, and so on, he can surely do that. Nature has given him that right. We can shake our head at him, wish that he would change, protect ourselves from him, and prosecute him when we can, but what we can't do is hold him to standards that do not exist. For the fact of the matter is that there is no objective meaning. How can there be? By what criteria could you possibly judge whether it is more meaningful for that fellow over there to sit for an hour on that bench watching ducks paddle in a pond, or get up after 2 minutes and run a marathon? Is it more meaningful for him to call his aging mother, who is expecting his call, or to not call her because she is vitriolic and always makes him feel small? He gets to have his experience of meaning based on his complete life experience, and you get to have yours, and I get to have mine. There is no other way except in an Orwellian world where personal meaning has been finessed out of existence. Meaning is completely subjective. For example, it is not objectively meaningful to explore space or to not explore space. You can make arguments on either side having to do with man's innate need to explore, the advantages to a nation that can wage war from outer space, the squandering of resources better spent on feeding and housing the poor, and so on. You can, and no doubt you do, have an opinion about space exploration, that is, a subjective sense of the meaningfulness or meaninglessness of space exploration. But there is absolutely no objective truth about whether space exploration is or isn't meaningful, because there is no one in charge of meaning except the individual. You experience something as meaningful, or else you don't. Who cares if the meaning police assert that you ought to have found that meaningful? You own your experience and your construction of reality. Even if some god or devil has imbued the world with intentional meaning, he has nevertheless made us exactly as we are, obliged to make meaning as we see fit. No rational person supposes that gods make us believe in a given war one minute and make us doubt it the next, or that they make us believe that painting is a meaningful way to spend our time one decade and then make us change our mind and raise photography to that exalted position the next. Even if you believe in gods, do you really think that gods are shifting those meanings on you? No. That shifting is a function of the way you organize your experiences, change your mind about values, and restructure your internal meaning web. Don't the existence of thousands of religions prove this point? Meaning is private, personal, individual, and subjective. Every argument for the objectivity of meaning, that this is meaningful while that is not, is merely the attempt by someone to elevate his subjective experience and his selfish genes above yours and mine. Whether we do or do not go ahead with space exploration has nothing whatsoever to do with the innate meaningfulness of the endeavor, there being none, and everything to do with who gets to decide. Whether you find it more meaningful to sit for an hour by a pond watching ducks paddle, or more meaningful to hop up after 2 minutes and rush home to work on your screenplay, is entirely your decision, and one that you might change tomorrow. Who else but you could decide how you intend to order your values, manifest your ethics, and construe meaning? How else could that possibly be? No, you must arbitrate the meaning in your life. That is your curse, and that is also your blessing. That concludes today's show. I invite you to come back next week for the sixth show in the series, when we look at how to meet internal objections to making meaning when those objections arise. To subscribe to your purpose-centered life, please visit personallifemedia.com, where you'll also find my blog. You can drop me an email at eric@personallifemedia.com, and I hope that you'll visit my website to learn more about my books and services. That's ericmaisel.com, ericmaisel.com. Thank you for listening.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.